Prophetic Sound Podcast. Pray for your mind, pray for your soul on Prophetic Sound Podcast. It's uplifting, God is willing on Prophetic Sound Podcast. Come on, let's praise him like this. All on one accord and what you hear, 'cause it's uplifting, God is willing on Prophetic Sound Podcast.
Blessings and greetings. We give God praise today. Welcome to the Prophetic Sound Podcast. Broadcast, all of those good things. I pray the sound is doing well tonight. We are grateful to the Lord for all that he is doing. I want to introduce my amazing husband, Apostle Marcus Smith. Hey, honey, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood. I cannot complain. God is good all the time.
Amen. And we are so blessed to be back. Can somebody say, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. It has been a little bit of a break for us. We have taken time to really just press into the things of God, to seek the Lord while he may be found. And we are so grateful for the opportunity for God to work in the midst of our lives, so that we can work in the midst of God's people.
Amen. Everything starts and ends in the presence of God. In order to go in the direction that God wants you to go in, doing the things that you need, that he wants you to do, time in his presence is of the essence.
Amen. So we are back, and we are getting ready to jump into a series. You know, the Lord has been speaking to us about having very tangible things for the people of God to work with, tools to give them to become overcomers and to be conquerors. The word calls us conquerors, honey. I mean, that means that nothing formed against you shall prosper.
Well, conquerors, it doesn't just say conquerors. It says we're more than conquerors.
Come on.
Because Jesus is that difference maker. The world has conquerors. We are more than conquerors because we have a foundation in Jesus that can never be shaken.
You know, come on, Apostle, because, you know, if we look at what the world is trying to shove down our throats right now, right? We have this going on. We have that going on. We, you know, this is all of these different things. Then we, as a people, should be downtrodden. But right now, we know that greater than is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We know that we have a way maker. The word says that he will make a way out of it all, not some,
yes,
but all.
Yes, yes. And the word says, and the reason why we have a difference than the world, because Jesus said himself, he said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And that truth is, it is finished.
Come on.
We know that it is finished. We know Jesus, he said in John 14, I've overcome the world for you and deprived it of power to harm you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither
yes.
let it be afraid.
Amen. Amen. So the series that we're getting ready to start, and it's going to be taught by several teachers, us being the first of many, and that is we are going to be speaking on defeating rejection. Rejection for so many people starts at different times and phases. Rejection could be a continuous thing, but whatever it is, we're going to map out strategy to be set free, delivered, and whole from rejection.
Now, we have to also remember that rejection has a name, and the name of Jesus is the name that is above every name.
Ooh,
everything, including rejection, must subject itself to the name of Jesus. And guess where our identity lies? It lies in Christ. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. God leads us in victory in Christ.
Yes.
So rejection doesn't stand a chance. We just have to identify where the rejection comes from, cast down vain imaginations as the word of God says, and bring every thought captive to the obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Come on. Now that's good. That's so good. You know, Apostle bringing that out, that the word does say that every name bows to the name of Jesus. And as long as a spirit has a name, it must bow. So rejection, we command you by the Spirit of the living God in Jesus' name to bow tonight and to relinquish your hold on every listener that is going to come past this broadcast.
Amen. And you know, when you go into it, the word says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The reason why it says it's mighty through God, because he sent his only begotten son to take rejection upon himself. On the cross, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He took rejection upon himself so we ourselves don't have to endure it.
Amen. Amen. And so we're going to start off with the very basics, just so you know, one of the teachers that is going to be coming back to bring some enlightenment and to bring hope into deliverance is going to be Dr. Leland Jones. And I am so excited to be working and collaborating with the man of God, because
yes,
his wisdom, his knowledge is just so amazing. And so and we're just grateful as a ministry to have such a well of anointing. Come on. And so tonight we're going to just jump right into it. So I have a question for the listener. When was the last time you felt rejected, Apostle?
Well, you know, I'm going to say this. I can't remember the last time I was actually rejected, but what I can say, rejection sometimes comes because of misunderstanding. So if you misunderstand somebody's intentions towards you, or there has been no communication with someone about what you expect of them, then it can come off as rejection. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I've had to take a step back and realize that people have a life. People have to do things. They're not rejecting me. We are human beings. So they are being who they are, doing what they do, and a conversation needs to be had about expectations so that rejection doesn't get in.
Amen. Well, me personally, I have several experiences I can draw from when I think of rejection. And for me, my earliest memory of rejection was rejection in the womb, right? So there was times in my life that I had to push past the thought of rejection or the feeling of rejection,
mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm,
I was seeing through a scope of rejection.
That's it.
Come
that's
on.
It. That's
and
it.
So sometimes that's we it. Have to see what we're perceiving, because everything that we're perceiving
is not the truth.
The word says vain imagination.
That's
right?
It.
So I had to learn how to cast all things, all knowledge that tried to cast itself over God himself. I had to literally put it under the blood and say, you know what? I'm not going to submit to rejection.
Amen. And another thing is, we have to also remember that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against Satan and all of his minions. Satan is named the accuser of the brethren and the father of lies. So if a door is open, and he, because he knows our tendencies, because a lot of the times we let things come out of our mouths that shouldn't come out of our mouths. And he keeps that book. So when a situation presents itself, he will come to you saying, see how they rejected you?
Come on.
See how they didn't accept you? When that is not the case at all. Again, a conversation needs to be had and a step back needs to be taken to look at the whole situation for the truth of what it is.
Come on. And you know, one of the things that, and I'm going to actually go to one of the callers and allow them to speak their mind, because we want some interaction here. Amen. But one of the things about rejection is not just rejection. It's the things that come along with rejection, right? But when you think about the things that come along with rejection, you realize that this fruit of the Spirit counteracts.
Yes.
everything that rejection can bring on. So if we speak about rejection, we talk about what it brings with it. Some of the things that I thought about as I was going through the lesson was hurt.
Yes.
Anger.
Yes.
Bitterness.
Yes.
Rage.
Yes.
Pride.
Yes.
Fear.
Yes.
Rebellion.
Yes.
And more.
Low self-esteem. Because you're thinking that somebody is not accepting you for who you are, when that could not be the case at all. So you start feeling dejected about yourself. You start rejecting yourself.
Come on. Come on. And then so when you start thinking about the fruits of the Spirit.
Right.
The joy of the Lord.
Yes.
The peace of
God. Yes.
You realize when you start to ingest, come on, Holy Spirit, when you start to ingest the things of God,
yes,
he's giving you the tools
to
reject the things of the enemy.
That's it. That's it.
So at this time, I'm going to open up the line. I'm going to open it up to the number ending in 4191. And I would just like the caller to share anything that they may have on rejection.
God bless you.
Amen.
One of the some of the stuff that I've encountered with rejection stems from when I was younger. You know, dealing with molestation, that is what caused a big part of rejection when I was growing up. I lost my sense of self-worth. I lost who I was, and when I got saved is when I started to take on the identity of Christ. We have to be willing to take on the identity of who God is, because when we get saved, his identity now becomes our DNA.
Yes.
And in God, there is no rejection. There is no victim mentality. Wounds are healed when we take on the identity of Christ. And a lot of things that I've, you know, witnessed and seen is that victim mentality plays a big role. You know, we seem to think that everyone's always out to get us when it's not even the case at all. As Apostle was saying, sometimes it's just misunderstanding in itself. You know, we start to make up things in our mind of what the other person may think about us, even though they might not think that, you know. We start to lose ourselves in approval addiction. You know, approval addiction is a big thing with rejection.
Amen. And pleasing. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
well, you know what
scripture
that just came to mind, woman of God, when you were just talking about that is Luke 10 and 16. And the word says, the one who hears you hears me.
Yes.
And the one who rejects you rejects me.
Yes.
And the one who rejects me, him who sent me.
Yes.
So, you know, a lot of times, like you said, you get that transference of DNA, and then you realize, It's not about you anymore, right? That pride factor that rejection can bring in. Humility curbs the pride factor.
Yeah.
And now you realize it's all about the Lord. And everything that I do is about God.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're rejecting that, they're not rejecting me, because I'm already a dead woman. I'm already a dead woman. My humility has killed me off.
Yeah.
The old man has died. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the new man has risen. So I'm already a dead woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what does it matter? And that's, I think that's the place we have to get to.
Yeah.
Where it just doesn't matter. All we care about is what we're doing for the Lord.
That's it.
And all of our identity is found in him.
That's
my DNA is wrapped up in him.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yes.
So good, right?
Yes.
And if they reject me,
they're rejecting Christ.
Because I know I'm hidden in him.
Yes.
I'm hidden in him.
Yes.
I'm caught up behind the wings. Come on now.
Yes.
And there's nothing. Look, he's guarding me. He's my rear flank.
Yes.
He's my right.
Yes.
You know what
Hallelujah.
I mean? He's my refuge.
Hallelujah.
I'm flanked in. There's nothing God, there's nothing the enemy can do to me.
Hallelujah.
What if David said, what can man do to me?
Yes.
Right? So when rejection tries to come in, what rejection is really trying to do is find cracks in the armor.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
It's trying to find it's trying to figure out if there's a way that I could weasel in and pry open the armor because you're flanked in. There's nothing the enemy, there's no access. So the enemy's like, well, I'm gonna use some low self esteem or I'm gonna use some something from the past, or I'm gonna use you know, one of the things that when I was doing my study that really pulled me in was hereditary rejection.
Yeah.
So you're pulling in the rejection of those that came before you. It's not even about you. It's a, you know, your mom's was a nobody and your dad was a nobody. So you were nobody.
Yeah.
You know, society has this way of bringing in hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
So the hierarchy makes you feel, well, I have to be down here so so-and-so can be up here.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord's like, I've already seen you in high places. I got to answer for that too.
Not only that, we have to, and that's why it's so important for us to stay in the Word of God. Because 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, God says he takes the things that are low-born, low-esteemed to confound the strong things of the world. He takes the weak things to confound the strong things of the world. He takes those that are low-born and are not to confound the wise.
Come on.
So God, he actually picks out those who feel like they're nobody and makes them out of somebody, just like he did in creation. He took nothing and made something out of it by saying, let there be light.
Come on.
He spoke it into existence. God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed.
Yes, Lord.
Ooh, and you know, I just heard the Lord say, and not only did I do that, I gave you a name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I gave you a name. I created you with my ruach. I blew into you and gave you a name.
Hallelujah.
And the enemy can't take your name.
That's
when we think about inheritances, your name is directly tied into your inheritance.
Yes.
So when the Lord said, I named you, I recreated my creation that I had already created.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so big and bad that you don't have to keep the name that the world gave you because I created that too.
I gave you my name.
My name.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That'd be like, if we had to equivalent it to a human thing, that'd be like the king and queen of England coming and saying, you know what, we're grafting you into the royal family. Because that's what he did.
That's what he did.
He grafted you in.
That's it.
You are part of the seed of Abraham.
That's it.
You are part of the promise of God.
Hallelujah.
So the rejection factor is really trying to just chisel away at your royal priesthood.
And your identity.
Come on.
And your identity.
Yep.
He wants, the devil's main plan is to get you to see. He doesn't want you to see who you truly are in Christ. If he can get you to believe that you're not in Christ, if he can get you to agree with your identity not being in Christ, then he's got you exactly where he wants you, because he knows that in Christ, all things are possible.
Mm.
He knows in Christ, you are seated in heavenly places at the right hand of God. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. You are the seed of Abraham in Christ. You are more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer. He knows this.
My God. My God. Okay. Thank you, woman of God, for adding to. We're gonna give some other listeners a chance to kind of add their two cents. We love you, and we'll be back with you. Amen. Okay, I'm going to open up the line for 0686. If you hear me say the last four of your number, please be prepared to just add whatever God puts on your heart. This is an interactive podcast. Again, the topic for tonight is defeating rejection. Defeating rejection. So at this time, I'm going to open up 0686. God bless you. Welcome to the Prophetic Sound broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord. This is Prophetess Diane Gates here. Could you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you for coming.
Amen. Amen. I give honor to God first, who's ahead of my life, and his son, Christ Jesus, who I have accepted as my Lord, my Savior, and my Redeemer. And rejection is one of the born-again believers' have to deal with. I'm coming to the conclusion that the Lord let me know that the world of his own. And as I begin to walk in holiness or come out from the world or not get into gossip and backbiting and tailbearing, the world rejects me because I'm not in that frame of mind anymore. So now I'm beginning to understand that rejection is part of the suffering of Christ.
So
the Holy Spirit said, if you suffer, Jesus said, if you suffer with me, you're going to reign. So let me suffer. Go ahead and reject me because I fear God, not man. That's it.
Amen.
That's good, woman of God.
Amen.
That is so good. And you know, that takes us into the next topic, actually, because the next topic that I wanted to add to this was that God's silence doesn't necessarily mean rejection.
Amen. Amen.
You know, just hit my spirit as I was writing up the notes that, you know, sometimes we're seeking God, we're wrestling with God, you know, we're like Jacob, we ain't gonna let you go till you bless me. And we're wondering like, man, Lord, I don't have a definitive answer. But that doesn't equal rejection. And sometimes I believe the children of God, we get to a place where in the waiting, we pick up victimization. We pick up, well, look at so-and-so in their life.
Yeah.
Look at so-and-so in their life. And we get to comparing the blessings of the Lord on someone else's life to our own life.
Mm-hmm.
So, Apostle, how do we address that thing that would cause us to want to compare ourselves to the next person?
I'm going to share two scriptures, and because these two scriptures help me. The first one is, to everything, there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. We have to understand that our timing is not God's timing. We live in a microwave generation. We want everything right now, but that's not necessarily how God intends for it to be. The word of God says he will not allow us to be tempted beyond that which we can bear. And also, he will not allow us to be blessed beyond what we can bear. He has to prepare us for the temptation, but he also has to prepare us for the blessing that he's gonna pour into our lives. The second one is, and this one, my brother and I, this is our scripture that we remind each other of every time we pray. Hebrews 12:3 says, looking away from all that will distract, looking unto Jesus, author and finisher of our faith. We keep our eyes on Jesus. We're not worried about our situations and our circumstances. We keep our eyes on Jesus. We're going to worship while we're waiting instead of complaining while we're waiting.
Ooh, that's good. And you know, it reminds me, okay, so scripture that God just brought to my attention is Psalm 66:20. And it says, blessed be God because he has not rejected my prayer.
That's it. That's it.
Or removed his steadfast love from me.
That's it.
We have to remember.
Yeah.
And we're dipping into all kind of rejection, right? Because we're going to bottleneck this. But we're kind of touching base on a little bit of everything tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So the thought pattern sometimes, because one thing I forgot to mention is one of the biggest assignments of rejection is torment.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's meant to try to torment you with all different things. Rejection can literally bombard you from every side.
Yes.
So one of the things that is so powerful about the tools God has given us in his word is he came after rejection headlong.
Yeah.
There are so many. If you begin to search the scriptures for the word rejection, you will be there on word study for a good month. Why? Because the Spirit of God knew that the enemy would use the rejection of man. Why? Because we first faced rejection in the garden.
Yes.
We first faced rejection in the garden. You're like, well, woman, what do you mean? Woman of God, what do you mean? Well, listen, we were in dominion with God. We were friends with God. We were in the cool of the garden with God. And because of sin, he had to reject that which he loved.
Hold on. Let me stop you right there.
Yes.
God had to reject what he loved because we rejected him first.
Come on.
We rejected his truth. We rejected his belief. We rejected his promise that he made. God rejected, God put Adam and Eve out of the garden because man rejected God before God ever rejected man. God never rejected us. He had to get man out of the garden to prevent everlasting sin from happening.
Amen, amen, amen. And so the Lord is like, just, he wanted us to know that rejection was not a permanent rejection.
Yes, yes.
Through Christ, he showed his love to let us know that his love, it never changed.
Hallelujah.
And David said it. He never removed his steadfast love from me. And I need somebody to own that tonight.
Hallelujah.
I need somebody to receive all of that love tonight.
Hallelujah.
Because he has not removed himself from you. He has not removed himself from you. I'm going to say it again.
Hallelujah.
He has not removed
Hallelujah.
Himself from you.
Hallelujah.
And tonight we are going after rejection because rejection is not your portion.
Hallelujah.
We are going to behead rejection because it's a serpent, it's a snake, and it has to die.
Hallelujah.
My God.
Hallelujah. John 3:16 says, for God so loved, and you can put your name in there, God so loved Marcus Alexander Smith that he gave his only begotten son for me. He gave his only begotten son for you. We have to personalize the sacrifice that God made of his only son for us. And then Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, shall he not with him freely and graciously give us all other things? And then Romans the 8th chapter, it said, what shall ever separate us from the love of God?
Yeah.
Nothing in all creation shall ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
You know, Psalms 94:14 says this, for the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage.
Hallelujah.
You are
Hallelujah.
The heritage of the Lord.
Yes.
You are the inheritance
Glory
of God.
Glory
For
to God.
Him to reject you is to reject
Hallelujah.
Himself.
Hallelujah. Yes. Yes.
For him to reject you is to reject himself.
Hallelujah.
And there is none of that. There is none of that in the Lord. And so I want you to remember those two scriptures. Those are going to be the two scriptures we're going to eat on and feast on for the
Hallelujah.
Weekend before we come back on Friday for the second part of this series. So it's Psalms 66:20.
Hallelujah.
Psalms 94:14.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay.
Glory to God.
So God's silence isn't rejection. We have to remember the assignment. See, the thing is when God gives us the strategy of an enemy, what he's doing is giving you a target, okay? Because let me tell you something. I say this all the time. A hidden enemy, it could be dangerous, but an exposed enemy is a target. I'm just playing target practice. I can hit you all day. I know exactly where you're at. So the enemy tries to use those inner whispers and thoughts to bring forth a opening for rejection. And rejection could be considered a strong man, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And can be one of those things that comes in to try to open you up to more. And so we thank God that he's given us the tools of victory in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
I want to give the next caller a chance just to add to. If you do not feel comfortable speaking on the cast, just let me just be silent for 2.2 seconds and I will go back on hold, okay? So this number ends in the number 4234. I'm opening it up to you. God bless you. Welcome to the Prophetic Sound Podcast.
Well, greetings and good evening from Phoenix, Arizona.
Woo-hoo!
This is Pastor Candace Burley. God bless you guys. Good to hear you. Glad that you're back on the podcast. I send greetings from an area that has a rich background in revival but has not had revival. So as you were going through Psalm, you said it was Psalm 6 and 20?
66 and 20.
66 and 20? What I want to tag on to that is, before we even get to that part of the psalm, we have to recognize when we read the scriptures prior to that, that David was going through some stuff. There were steps and stages where he reminded God of how great he was. He reminded God, he says in 66 and 6, he turned the sea into dry land and went through the flood on foot. There we did rejoice in him. He also comes down and talks about in verse 8, oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise be heard. And he also talks about, you know, so there's a worship, there's a praise, and there's a process. And so oftentimes we want the fruit of what we think we're entitled to without going through the process. So David comes all the way over to verse 17 where it says, I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. So we have to understand that there is some crying, there is some crushing of the flesh and crushing of our feelings. And a lot of times, unfortunately, we don't want to talk about those things because that's not pretty. Process is not a wonderful thing we like to go through. But going back to what Apostle said, when we finally do get the blessing or we finally do get the reward, we're in a much better place in God and a much better place in character to receive it. So God bless and glad to be on. Thank you.
Amen. Well, you know, I love you and I'm so happy to have you here tonight. And that is absolute truth. And just so you know, the two scriptures that I gave you was not the end all. We have a bunch of scriptures. Let me make it clear. If you ever want to learn how to be a bound and a base, study David. Study David, because David was like, I was in the palace yesterday. Today, you try to take my head off with a spear. You know, and if that's not some form of rejection, I don't know what is. What is so interesting is how David was an artist of praising God.
Yeah.
He was an artist of praising God. He's like, you know what? I understand this is what's happening, but I'm going to praise him anyhow.
That's it. Because David knew that God was not only had the power to bring him out, but because God had already delivered him from the hands of a lion and a bear, God was a Goliath. He knew God is able to bring me out of this too.
Yes. And that speaks to, and God bless you, woman of God. I'm going to put you back on hold for just a moment. That speaks to us needing that buffering at times,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You need experience. You need the experience of going through something. And sometimes our favorite motto is, if the devil would have knew what I was going to be, he would have never messed with me.
That's it.
Right?
That's it.
So you can, there is sometimes your battle tells you who you are in God.
That's it.
And that's all I'm going to say about that, because if we touch on that, we're going to be here all night.
Well, the word of God says, think it not strange, or count it all joy.
Come on.
When you fall into various trials and temptations.
Yes.
For it is the testing of your faith. He said, when you fall. So it's not intentional. The tests, the trials, the tribulations are not intentional and not necessarily of our own doing. But God promised in Romans 8:38, all things, the good, the bad, and the indifferent, all things work together for good. Mm. To those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose.
Come on, so good. And so dealing with rejection in itself, there's lots of different things that could bring you rejection. The woman of God spoke about the world's rejection, and mm-hmm. there is definitely a good, bad, and a different areas of rejection. But we also have rejection that enters in that is something that God doesn't want, and he wants to pluck it out.
I was going there.
Come on.
I was going to say, there sometimes the rejection that we perceive as rejection is God protecting us from something that is going to be harmful to us, or is going down a road that God never intends for us to go down.
That's it. And so that I call that that's God's grace.
Yes.
Mercy, that's God's grace.
Yes.
You know, years ago, good Lord, I feel old now when I think about how many years ago. It was something like 15 at this point. I had an opportunity in ministry, and it would have put me on airplanes and jet planes and, you know, all that good stuff. And then all of a sudden, something came in and just utterly blew it up. I mean, blew it up. And the only thing I could think of was, oh, my God, the devil. A few years later, some things came out that I was like, whoa, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving me from myself.
And that's what it is. That's what it is.
Thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for saving me from my own selfish ambition. Thank you, Lord, for saving me from the falsehoods and the lies. But the time and in the moment and when it was happening, it absolutely felt like rejection.
Yeah.
It absolutely felt like they don't want me in their club.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Absolutely.
But I had no clue that it, first of all, their club doesn't necessarily mean God's club, right?
That's it. So
we give God praise for that.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to open up the line. We are having too much fun here tonight. I am so happy. We are so happy to be back with you guys. It is so amazing to be back online. Okay, I'm going to open up the line to number ending is 6867. 6867, God bless you. Welcome to the Prophetic Sound broadcast.
God bless you guys. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Do you know who this is?
We know it's Apostle Luis Lopez.
Ooh, this is Morpheus. Take the blue pill.
Oh, Lord. Well, we take the red pill, Morpheus.
The blue pill to get rid of the spirit of rejection. The blue pill to get rid of the spirit of rejection. But, yes, Lord. But I just caught some of it. I know my wife was talking about that a lot of people in the body of Christ deal with the spirit of rejection, because I did since I was younger. I felt like if I didn't pray the way other people, they didn't listen to my prayer because it wasn't sophisticated enough, you know. I know when people deal with the spirit of rejection, they talk a lot. And you say a lot of things to try to fit in. And I've learned that when you deal with anxiety and you deal with depression or you deal with stress and the spirit of rejection and insecurity, it causes people to talk a lot, especially when there's nothing to talk about. You have to be the first one to say something about something instead of just allowing the silence, you know.
Mm.
And I've dealt with that all my life because I was rejected by my father when I was a kid. I was rejected by my mother. And you put up walls, too, when it comes to the spirit of rejection. You put up walls. You don't let people – you're not quick to let people in. And if they do anything that would mirror something close to someone else and what they did, that's kind of like a memory – jump to the past.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I got to stay away from you. You cut people off. You don't move forward. It's hard to love. There's no freedom. So I'm like, this is where they don't need emotional healing. They need emotional deliverance, which is different from emotional healing. And I'm sure someone, you know, when we, as we grow up in Christ and as we get to know life, we deal with rejection here. If we didn't get that job or husband or wife or children, you know, things of that nature. So I'm sure everybody dealt with it, but that was just my take. In short, when you deal with the spirit of rejection, you tend to talk a lot because you want to be accepted. But Proverbs says in the multitude of words, sin is not absent. So I've noticed, I don't know if you guys noticed this too, but those who are wise, they don't talk a lot. They tend to be reserved, especially if you're an introvert, you know. So that's my small take on that. I just heard some of it, so I don't know what's the expound, you know, or what you guys expounded on, but I'm here.
Hey, man. Amen.
Just listen.
Well, I absolutely agree. Apostle, you have anything to say?
No, I think you're spot on with that. And as you were speaking, when you mentioned rejection from your parents, I went through that when I was a kid. And when I wrote a letter of forgiveness to my dad, not knowing whether he ever received that letter or not, I actually found freedom from the anger and the rejection that it had caused.
Amen.
So that forgiveness is one of the ways to deal with the spirit of rejection. And I think that, you know, it's sometimes it's a hard thing to do. It really, it just is.
You know, for me, and I think I expressed, I was literally rejected in the womb. And many of you know, my biological mother actually years ago came on as a guest when we were, when we had the podcast, when we were on Talk Show. And we had a chance to share our testimony together because God has been bringing some reconciliation into that relationship. But she will tell you that she literally tried to, I am a failed abortion, right? So for years, I justified my rejection through my anger. And I gave that thing so much life.
Mm-hmm.
I think about it now. I gave it so much darn life.
Yeah.
And I was able to, at moments, shovel it in. But it really, I can't even remember when the Lord delivered me. I just remember when it didn't hurt anymore.
Yeah.
You know? And I remember knowing, there was a knowing, even after coming out, you know, coming to the Lord, like, girl, your emotions and your feelings towards this is not right. This is not how God would have you to handle this. But everything in me was like, but. There was a whole lot of buts there. And I could put a but behind it and justify it in a minute, you know. And I think that there is many in our generation in the Lord who have come into the Lord later in life, suffered so much, and you come in and you're like, okay, it was all on the cross, but why am I still hurting, and why am I still crying, and why am I not why can't I deal with what's really wrong? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to come to that place where I was able to pull that scab off, realize it was an infected wound. You know, and that's not everybody's story.
Well, I think but everybody comes in when we're saved, we have this idea that when we get saved, when we give our life to Jesus, everything just goes away.
Yeah.
And that is not the reality of being saved. He saves our soul from going to hell, but everything else that we're dealing with, that we've dealt with our lives, is a process.
Yeah.
It is a process, and part of that process is us wanting to let it go. Some people like the spirit of rejection, and they don't want to let it go because they're comfortable in it.
Yeah. You know what's amazing about that is if I were to be a little bit more vulnerable, I know that the spirit of rejection stems from fear. I know that I've dealt with fear.
Yes.
I was afraid of people not accepting me. I was afraid that she won't like me. I'm afraid that he won't like me. I don't fit in this group and I don't fit in that group. And when I was in the world, I felt too Christian. And when I was in the church, I felt too worldly. I was stuck in the middle of both worlds. And I didn't, you know, I tried to be the good son, but then I thought my mom loved my brothers more than she loved me. The devil takes that and starts creating wicked imaginations, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Wicked imaginations in my own mind and in my own heart can make me think more than what the situation is.
That's it.
And from time to time, even in my marriage, there were times that my wife would say, well, honey, you're painting a picture that's not happening right now. That's not what's going on, you know. And I know that I have to always keep that in check because I'm like, I would ask questions. Is this what's going on? She's like, no, far from it. You know, and if people were to talk, you're thinking they're talking about you. If they laugh, you think they're laughing, you know, about you or making fun of you or they just don't accept you. So I know what that looks like because I know what that feels like. So I had to take that in prayer, give it to the Lord, deal with the spirit of rejection, deal with the spirit of insecurity, because I cannot preach the gospel from the place of hurt. I can't preach the gospel and walk in freedom in a place of anger. So if somebody, especially if you're an apologist, there's going to be people that's going to come up and ask a question, and they're not going to be so nice. They're going to be disrespectful, rude, but it's spiritual warfare, you know? And it's not that they're angry at you personally. There's something going on. But if I take if I'm operating in that type of spirit and I'm in a place of hurt and condemnation and there's no freedom, I'm going to be offended. And it's easy for people to be offended if you're walking with that and you're not dead enough. And you have to die in this life and you have to die in your walk. So if somebody does say something, it's just water on the duck's back. You just let it roll off.
That's it.
So I don't know if anybody dealt with that or can identify what I'm saying, but I yield.
Yes, actually, you hit on a lot of what we hit on just a little bit earlier. We were talking about some of the things that try to come along with rejection.
Yes.
And we were talking about the hurt, the anger, the bitterness, rage, pride, fear, rebellion. I think you said low self-esteem is one. And you know, some of the things that you also spoke about, we were talking about inherited rejection.
Mm-hmm.
That ends up coming along down the pipeline through bloodline or through events that didn't even have to do with you. Maybe events that happened to do with your parents, right? Or your parents' parents. That's good, right? Because I remember, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'll put that after you.
I know, right? We're having too much fun here. Boss, I'm going to need you to laugh and joke with us. But one of the things I remember, my mother and I sitting down, we were talking, and she began to express things she went through with her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then we turned around and mirrored it in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that rejection from her mother coming upon me, because that was all she knew was rejection. Mm-hmm. And you know, and so that self-rejection, right? One of the things that Apostle just mentioned that I know I absolutely walked through too, is trying to make sure that I'm seeing things through the correct perception, because I've had those times of walking in rejection and go into situations thinking, oh, it's just going to be the same thing, just a different day. Not realizing God can't help me, so I help myself, right? So sometimes you have to recognize where you're at and saying, okay, Lord, I have been in this place for this long and I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I hand it to you. I give it to you, and there's nothing I want to do with this thing anymore.
Okay, I want to touch on that familial or generational rejection, because have you ever, you know, been like the third or fourth child going into a school, and those that have gone before you have created an atmosphere, and you are rejected by the teachers in the school before you even get there because of family members that went before you that didn't do right.
Well, so you know I have a story behind that. So my sixth grade year in middle school, I walk into a classroom The teacher reads my last name and immediately puts me out of the class and told me I was not going to make his life hell for a year. Now, I was like, I don't know what's going on. Come to find out, I'm the baby of 10, okay? So come to find out, one of my brothers, two of my brothers, had made our name just mud in this school. So that is a good, it actually is a good yeah. example of how you can suffer behind things that had nothing to do with it at times too.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Apostle, thank you for adding, and I'm going to ask you to stay on. We're going to kind of open it up to someone else, but we love you. Thank you for sharing and being vulnerable, because that's what all this is about, so we can help somebody. Amen?
Amen.
Whew. And by the way, the Lord told me God was going that he was going to use Apostle
Amen.
Tonight.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
Okay. So I'm going to open it back up to line 4191, and we're going to continue on. We have 8 minutes left in the broadcast, but now go into things that we can do daily to strengthen ourselves and undergird ourselves from the spirit of rejection. And I'm actually going to open up the line to 4234 at the same time. I would ask that you two women of God will help me carry it on home. Amen. So some of my thoughts were, validating our feelings, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're really feeling rejection, don't mask that, right? It's so much easier to just give it to God when you recognize it.
Not only that, if you feel like someone, another person is rejecting you, have a conversation. Have a communication. The Lord told me contention arises due to a lack of information.
Mm.
So rejection is a form of contention, and it is due to a lack of information sometimes.
Good. That's good. And I will ask if you women of God have anything, just go ahead and jump in. Look for a learning opportunity,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Because not all rejection is true rejection.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right.
There's times you go for a job, you don't get that job. I got a better job for you, right? So not all rejection is bad rejection. So look for a learning opportunity.
And consider the source of the rejection.
Mm.
If you know you ain't supposed to be connected to a certain individual or a certain place or a certain, and the rejection comes, say hallelujah, turn around, walk away, run
shake,
in the other
shake
direction.
Shake the dust from your feet.
Run in the other direction. While you're praising God on the way.
Amen. Okay. Remember your self-worth.
That's it. That's it.
You know, the Lord thought you were worth dying for.
That's it.
So remember your self-worth.
Yeah.
You're all that, a bag of chips and a dime.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that if you were worth it to God, it doesn't matter if you're worth it to man. And I think Prophet Lopez said it best, that sometimes we get into this place where we're trying to please man.
That's it.
And you find yourself on a hamster wheel,
mm-hmm.
right? So yeah, we're going to remember our worth, and we're going to keep things in perspective.
That's it.
You know, the bigger thing is hey, if you don't want to play with me on the playground, I'm going to go play somewhere else. You know what I mean?
Don't play by myself.
Right. I think if we
go around and going nowhere.
Right. Go ahead, woman of God.
I think if we focus on Ephesians 3:19, when it says, and to know the love of Christ,
definitely.
Which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. If we
Hallelujah.
Focus on the fullness of who God is and everything he is and everything he ever will be to us, along with our identity in him, see, then we can get rid of these places of void and emptiness that cause us to feel rejection in the first place.
Amen.
You know, it's about looking to who God is and finding ourselves in him. And the only way to really do that is to, you know, have that intimacy with God, read his word, learn about his character, learn about the things that he did. Because as you mentioned earlier, Apostle, greater things we're going to do, you know. So being yes. able to, you know, wrap our mind around that, that, you know, things that he did, we already are given the power and authority to do more than he
Amen.
Already did. So that's the fullness. That's what we got to focus on. And if we spend more time focusing on God and his identity, then we'll spend less time focusing on ourselves and the opinions of others.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Pastor Candace, did you have anything to add? Okay, she might be off the line. Okay, so my next point was figure out what's really scaring you. Mm. And Apostle Lopez said it, that a lot of times rejection actually comes out of fear.
Yeah.
And so we've got to face our fear. That was my next point.
Yeah.
Face our fear, and then reject negative self-talk. We could be our own worst enemy.
Yep.
You know, we could talk ourselves out the best of what God has
That's
for
it.
Us.
That's it.
So we want to mm-hmm. make sure mm-hmm. that we are giving ourselves ample amount of grace in all things. I'm going to open it up to 0686. Woman of God, if you'd like to add anything. And then Apostle Lopez, I'm going to open you back up, 68-67. We have 2 minutes left, so I'm going to allow anyone who has anything they would like to add. I'm going to start with Prophetess Gates. God bless
yes.
you, woman of God. Is there anything that you would like to add to the conversation
yes,
this evening?
Yes, yes, ma'am. I one of the deliverance for me to get over rejection is what Christ said. If they reject you, if they hate you, they're going to hate me. If they hate him, they're going to hate me. And one thing I learned as growing, even now, is I always say, Father, I forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the frame of mind that I have. And the Holy Spirit tell me to press forward, quit looking back, quit always talking about the past. And everybody has a past. He said, press towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. So my mind is set up. That's one of the reasons we come from a big family. And one of the areas that I kind of like keep my mind and my company with is family reunions, because they always want to talk about the past. And God was telling me, forgetting those things that which are behind you, Diane, and press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. So when people reject me, I say it like this: Father, I forgive them, for they know not what they do. God said, Jesus said, if you won't forgive those who trespass against you, my heavenly Father will not forgive you of your trespasses. So I want God to forgive me. So therefore, when I reject it, I don't take it personal, because now I know it's not them, it's the spirit that's working behind them. And that's one thing Satan do. He goes around seeking who he may devour. So I made
that's
up my mind, like the man of God said, I'm more quiet now. I'm more conservative now. So I'm learning how not to get into different conversations of the past, because the past, everybody got one. So,
amen.
So I just thank God that he teaches me how to press towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus, and I'm going forth in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So good. So good. Next person.
Was that me? Oh, sorry. So I know with rejection, I know Proverbs says that even a fool is considered wise when he keeps his mouth shut.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you deal with that spirit of rejection, people remain silent because they're afraid that if they say anything, it's going to be cast down, or it's not worth anything, or it's not important. That's why deliverance needs to happen. So we know there's so many symptoms that can come out of rejection. And what we do is we try to heal the symptom when we should heal the core.
Amen.
And in the middle of that core, it's too long to say it now because there's only like, what, 1 minute left or not even. But I just wanted to say for those, you know, whether it's myself or you guys or anyone else, if we meet somebody or we ever dealt with rejection, we have to deal it with reading the word, be washed by the water of the word, giving our hearts over to the Lord on a daily basis. Says, Lord, you know what? Give me the strength. If there's a rejection that I'm dealing with here and the spirit that I'm dealing with here, you know, reveal it to me. And there are times God won't reveal it because you're not ready. You think you're ready, but God knows when you're ready, and he will reveal it to you. And sometimes he'll use other people. Do you know that you deal with this? Do you know that you say these things and that stems from this? So all in all, as we pray for each other, you know, we build each other up. We put it before the throne and say, Lord, you know what? Heal me. I need your healing. Deliver me. Make me whole. Make me feel, you know, make me see that you are with me and that you care about me and that I'm not to be destroyed within myself. That every part of me is made whole. That if there's anything destroyed or broken down, or if there's any holes in me, and I'm not bleeding correctly, help me how to bleed right, because there are things that need to bleed out, but sometimes you can bleed wrong. So I mean, it goes deeper than that, but I just wanted to share that because I know that God can heal me, because he has, and he's still healing me from other stuff that stems from years and years ago. And I never put myself in a place that I'm already delivered. I always believe that me, I know me, Luis Lopez Jr., I need to be delivered every day. I need his forgiveness every day. I need Jesus every day to make me whole. But one thing, and I'll stop with this, Philippians 1:6 is a very important scripture for me. And I always say this in prayer. I said, be confident in this, Luis, that he who has begun a perfect work in you, in me, he shall complete it until the day he comes. That's my scripture for me. And I have to learn to die daily, because you can't offend a dead man nor reject one.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That is so good. And I think we're going to end with that. Apostle just gave a great benediction, because we are all dying daily. Amen. So at this time, I'm going to ask my hubby, Apostle Marcus, if you can pray us on out, and then we're going to tell you a couple of announcements, and then we're going to jump off.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship, this time of learning, this time of victory over the spirit of rejection. Father, we just thank you right now for revealing that enemy to us and revealing to us strategies to overcome rejection. Father, we thank you that you so love us. We love you, Father, because you first loved us. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I just ask that you be with every person on this line. Surround them with your angels. Surround them with your protection. Let your favor surround them as with a shield. Go before them to make every crooked place straight, every rough place smooth, to level every mountain and raise every valley. And let every need, every physical, spiritual, emotional, financial need be abundantly supplied according to and out of your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, and we thank you for continually ordering our steps, directing our paths, leading us in your truth and faithfulness and teaching us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Okay, September 17th and 18th, here locally, Buffalo, New York, we are having the Refreshing Buffalo. We are so excited. We have not hosted an event this for, what, almost 2 years now, because of everything that's been happening. We are just excited to be welcoming in Evangelist Stephen Powell and of Lionheart, I'm sorry, Lion Light Ministries. And we are just blessed to have him. We will be at 28 Edison Avenue, Buffalo, New York. And if you are in the area, if you want to come alongside, if you want to be a blessing, please feel free to reach out to us at propheticwindministries@gmail.com. It is a free event. We will be having registration, though, so just so we can mark the numbers. Registration will be on Eventbrite, and you can look it up, Refreshing Buffalo, okay? Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Prophetic Wind Ministries, INT, and our website actually should be up by next week. I talked to the web designer. We were having some issues because I have too many domain names, so that was my fault. So God is good, and we are looking for the goodness of the Lord and the beauty of his countenance to shine upon you. We will be back on this coming up Friday, which is the 10th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please invite a friend. Again, this is an interactive podcast, so be ready to interact, to laugh, to joke, to cry. We are here to be a blessing. We will continue the series on rejection and defeating rejection specifically. So we give God the glory. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for joining us. And we love you. And we want to tell you good night.
Good night. Thank you for coming. God bless you.
Prophetic Sound Podcast. Pray for your mind, pray for your soul. On Prophetic Sound Podcast, it's uplifting. God is willing on Prophetic Sound Podcast. Come on, let's praise him like this. All on one accord and what you hear. Cause it's uplifting. God is willing on Prophetic Sound Podcast.